Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places.
Len Elmore will be at center, 6'9", senior from Springfield Gardens, New York. He's their all-time champion rebounder, averaging 14.8 this year.
I said choosing Maryland was the best decision I ever made. And I still believe to this day it contributed to a lot of the success that I've had.
He's rejected by Lewis.
Lewis can block a few of them. He's blocked 41 this year.
Well, listen, he set a record last year with 99 shots that he blocked, 10 in one game alone.
Jones out of the corner, the first one is a huge three. One of the biggest threes he'll ever hit. Came in with a reputation as a shooter.
And I still now, 16 years later, you know, I still get that, you know, Mike Jones type of thing, and it brings back a lot of good memories.
Ravis Vasquez, the player of the year in the ACC. Yes, and a foul.
Maryland is in my DNA for sure. Like, I represent and breathe, and I love it. When you love something and you're passionate about something, everything else is much easier.
You're listening to Hear the Turtle. Your hosts are Taylor Smythe and Keith Snedden.
It's Monday, October 5th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, we're back for another round of our Maryland Record Breaker series presented by our friends at Chesapeake Employers Insurance. And this week, it's the Sultans of SWAT on our umterps.com story about this. It's the brothers, Derek and Cedric Lewis, the two greatest shot blockers in Maryland history, both from one family. Both fantastic at blocking shots, and it was wonderful to talk to both of them.
I think the only way to do this interview was both of them in a tandem, Taylor, because yes. I think that really brought out the best of them, you know, kind of getting into, you know, who is the better shot blocker, you know, who gets the credit for, you know, turning these two into the best shot blockers in Maryland history. And will those records ever be broken? Because they seem to think, you know, some of those career records, they're pretty safe for a long time, just with the way college basketball is now, where, you know, you have a Bruno Fernando or Jalen Smith or, an Alex Len who, after a couple of years, they're going to the NBA. They're not sticking around to break some of those records. But awesome to talk to both of them and a fun one for sure.
Yeah, they were really cool playing off of each other. Obviously, when you have that like brotherly chemistry going on, that is going to provide some good banter back and forth. And they certainly had that. And they really do kind of own every single shot blocking record that's relevant at the University of Maryland, which is crazy that that's two brothers that did that. That kind of came right after each other and in the same era. So they were really great on the court and probably two of the more underappreciated guys in Maryland history. I feel like I've been a Maryland fan for a long time. Obviously wasn't, you know, really alive when these two guys were starring at Maryland, but didn't know all that much about them. So it was really cool to learn about them and their accomplishments and their two local guys. So what the area meant to them and all those different things that we always talk about with the locally grown players. It was a great conversation and we can't wait for you to listen. So let's get to our interview with Derek and Cedric Lewis.
For more than 100 years, Chesapeake Employers Insurance has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A-minus financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance.
At the end of every workday, someone's waiting for your safe return.
Connect with your agent or visit ceiwc.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with two of Maryland's great all-time shot blockers. We're talking with Derek and Cedric Lewis. Guys, thanks for joining the show. And first of all, we're going to jump into your records. We've been doing this with a bunch of guys. We've talked to Len Elmore. We've talked to Walt Williams, Mike Jones. And Len Elmore, when we had him on, mentioned he wished he'd had shot blocks registered. So he records as well. But you guys are the two best, the best in Maryland history. So let's settle it right now. Who do you think is the best shot blocker of the group here, Cedric? Are you giving it to yourself or giving it to Derek?
See, I think I had a chance to watch Derek, so I kind of perfected it after he left. So I'm going to say that I'm the better shot blocker.
Would you agree? Would you agree with that assessment, Derek?
I would agree 3 or 4 years ago. That's when I started slowing down. I can still block a few shots.
We'll go through these records here. Derek, your records, both of you guys' records extensive. Derek, career block shots, single game block shots, games with 10-plus block shots, 5, which is insane. And 2 triple-doubles. Cedric, you had single-season block shots, season block shots average, and single-game block shots. You also had 12. So you guys both had 12 shots in a game. When you're going playing basketball growing up, how competitive are you two guys? I mean, it had to have been some great games in the backyard.
You know, it's funny. We used to do a lot. I think it was more so every sport. We played in our family room downstairs. We used to play football a lot. So football actually was my favorite sport until it got cold, you know. So I'm like, I need a controlled environment. So I switched over to basketball. And but we really did a lot of football, going against each other in the basement. We had this little Nerf hoop. So it started off at a very young age, even playing Nerf basketball downstairs. Now, Derek, at the time, he was always taller than I was. You know, 3 years when you're younger makes a big difference. You know, I probably came up maybe to his waist or chest height at that time for 3 years, probably until we got into high school. And so whenever we played basketball, Derek, he perfected his shot blocking on me because, you know, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of balls going to basket back then, being the younger brother of the number one shot blocker in the nation. So it was just a little bit different because, you know, he perfected his shot blocking on me back then.
You got to say, it's always competitive. Like you said, we played football. And really, that was at a time when you played whatever sport, whatever season it was, that's the sport you played.
Yep. So
football season, we played football, and then it was basketball, then it was baseball. And I hated baseball. My strike zone was too big. I couldn't stand baseball. It was hot outside. I'm standing out there in the field waiting for a ball to come. I stopped playing baseball in ninth grade, but we played football, and that was something we did. I know I did up until high school. I'm not sure how long. Sid, I think maybe Sid.
Yeah, I did too.
Eighth grade?
Yeah, I played up until eighth grade. And so that, like I said, that was actually the number one sport for me. And then I started playing basketball more so in seventh and eighth grade more. And I think I became a little bit more serious about it in eighth, ninth grade year.
And I'll say this too, Sid, you know, he talked about it being cold outside. I had two reasons for changing from football. It was cold outside. I played my first Turkey Bowl when I was in I guess I was seventh or eighth grade. But in high school, playing wide receiver, I took a hit coming across the middle. Quarterback kind of laid me out, stretched me out there, and I took a hit coming across the middle. I'm like, man, I think I better play something else.
So, who gets the credit for turning you guys into the shot blockers that you became? Because it's not like you were these 7-footers who could just park under the rim and you've got the length over everybody. You know, was it just iron sharpens iron growing up, or you know, who gets the nod? Who gets the credit for turning you guys into those shot blockers?
I'll say dad. My dad, and not that he was a shot blocker, my dad was a scorer in called Elizabeth City University. He was a scorer. He didn't rebound. He didn't pass. All he did was shoot. He didn't play any defense. I have the stats here to prove it. But he coached us coming up, and he taught us how to play basketball. You know, it wasn't just about scoring, wasn't just about how to play defense, how to be all-around player. So, like I said, we didn't get the defensive prowess from him because I've seen some stats of his. We had 26 in a game and one rebound. And my dad was sick. He was a center on the team. I'm like, how'd you get one rebound? So he's got to get some of the credit.
And I'll have to say, too, I was more so learning by watching. And so watching Derek, you know, as he was playing in high school and I was in seventh and eighth grade, I would watch his approach to how he would block shots. And I would actually take that same approach to blocking shots when, you know, growing up. So I would actually watch how guys are going to the basket. And if you can go back and watch tape, I'll talk about this tape later that we've been having a 25-year argument about. But
yeah, we'll get to that.
Watch tape on our approach to blocking shot. It's all about the deception, and we'll make the defender think that he actually has a good lane to the basket. So you will actually see us running with the guy beside him, but then we will pull up. At that point, when we pull up a little bit, we slow down, we have him timed. So they'll go into the basket not thinking that we're going to block the shot. And, you know, I would say probably in a game throughout the course of a game, I got probably two or three block shots just by deception.
Derek, we'll jump in.
That was just something that I learned by watching. So, you know, that's where I kind of got that from, just watching Derek how he did it and trying to perfect it.
Speaking of watching Derek do it, we'll start with your records here, Derek. And I've read this line like four times, and I kind of can't believe it. You set the single game shot block record of 12 against James Madison, January 28th, 1987. You went for 29, 23, and 12. That's
that game.
Unbelievable. Describe that game to us.
It was a game, you know, and I believe it was my junior year. We weren't winning that year. We didn't win one game in the ACC. It was a non-conference game, and they were just talking so much trash because we weren't that good that year. We had a lot of young guys on the team, and they talked so much trash to players on the other team and the fans we came in. So I was a little heated under the collar before that game started. And I was like, there's no way we can lose this game to James Madison. And not because it was James Madison,
was Lefty there yet?
The motivation. That's it.
Was Lefty there yet?
Oh, he wasn't there yet. No, I didn't play against Coach. No, he sure didn't. And again, I was just so motivated, you know, no one had ever talked that much trash. And I'm thinking, these guys must be crazy. We're not gonna win this game, lose this game. So that was my motivation. I don't know how those numbers came about, but I wasn't letting anything, I wouldn't let anybody shoot. I was trying to get all the rebounds. And I was just, you can't talk trash until you've proven something. They hadn't proven anything either. So, you know, I'm still a little bit irritated about it.
I was about to say, Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post described the arena at James Madison as like a fraternity house. And you dealt with a lot of stuff with the trash talk, especially after Len Bias's death. Was that pretty much it? Just for sort of responding to all that going on that made you like, we're taking these guys out. I mean, there's no way we're
losing. I think it was. And a lot of people saw us as a weaker team that year because we had lost players. Again, we were going through the stuff that happened with Len Bias. So, you know, it was like everyone thought we were a punching bag. And again, we hadn't won a game in the ACC. So every non-conference game we played that year, everybody saw that as a win. And it's like, we're going to beat Maryland tonight. The same thing with the other triple-double, I think it was against Maryland Eastern Shore. Those guys are talking trash. I'm like, this makes no sense to me. So no way I could let that game get away. Again, I'm still irritated about it after all these years, but that's how that came about.
And then, Cedric, you come along, you tie your brother Derek's record, 12 blocks, 4 years later at South Florida in 1991.
Nobody told me to do that either.
when you think about that game, what memories start coming back?
Self-preservation. The year before, my junior year, we lost to Coppin State. And the practice that we had after the Coppin State game was not fun. It was just, I mean, we didn't use balls the entire practice. It was just all running. And Gary tried to kill us that trip, that particular practice. So South Florida, we're down at half, maybe we're getting blown out. I mean, we're probably almost down almost 20 points in halftime. And this is the first time this has ever happened to me during a game. Any coach, Gary Williams didn't even come in the locker rooms to talk to us at halftime. You know, he didn't come in. So when I guess it was probably about a minute and 30 seconds left on the clock for half. And he used an explicative and told us to pretty much get out on the court, basically. He didn't talk. That was the only word. Get out on the court, basically. And so I'm thinking the only thing I can think of is Coppin State lost practice. And I'm like, okay, maybe I need to, you know, try to do something a little different. And the guy that was killing us, and Derek, you played with Gary Alexander. He was on that team. But they had a guy his last name was Dobras. He was killing us the entire first half. And after that, I was just determined not to let him score or let anybody score pretty much. And if they were in my vicinity, I was going to get it. And like I said, so that was just more so of a self-preservation game.
And I think Gary called it one of the greatest rallies he had ever been a part of. And he put on a full court press for that last 20 minutes. I mean, how tired, how gassed were you at the end of that game?
Me, honestly, during the press, I love the press because I'm in the back. Vince Broadnax, Walt was hurt at the time. Kevin McClinton, Matt Rowe, those guys are on the front of the press. So if they get past them, I'm the anchor. So I'm just waiting for them to get past those guys. So they're the ones running around, trapping, and doing everything else. But I'm just in the back waiting for them to come. If they got past, I'm blocking the shot. So that job was pretty fun for me. Garfield Smith too was on the ball too. But yeah, it was just great to be in that atmosphere and to, you know, come back to have such a great comeback in a game like that, because I don't think it had ever been done before, not to that magnitude. You know, we've had some scares with Gary. They used to call us the heart attack Terps back then, because we would start off slow and then we would end up pretty much winning the game at the end. We surprised a lot of teams that year. It was a bittersweet every game that we played, because we were not allowed to be on the go to the NCAA tournament. We weren't allowed to go to the ACC tournament. So we took a different approach to every single game that season.
We'll be right back to our Maryland basketball record breakers interview. But first, a word from our sponsor, Chesapeake Employers Insurance. Chesapeake Employers Insurance is a proud partner of University of Maryland Athletics. For more than 100 years, Chesapeake has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A-minus financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance. Connect with your agent or visit CEIWC.com. That's CEIWC.com.
And when did you realize you had tied Derek's record? Did you get him on the phone after the game? Like, what was that conversation like?
Honestly, Derek was in France at the time. So,
Snap.
Yeah. So throughout the course of the game, you don't realize what's going on because you're not really stat conscious. I wasn't, you know, thinking about, okay. And I think we ended up tying the record with, it was either David Robinson. And I think that record still stands in NCAA today. But, you know, just, I think it was just more so that Derek was more proud and happy that, you know, we both tied a record. That still stands at Maryland today.
So let's talk two records here. Season versus career. Derek, you have the career blocks record. Cedric, you set the single season blocks record in 91.
Yeah.
You talked about it, you both have, and I'll put this to you first, Derek. What makes a great shot blocker? If it's such a hard thing to do, it's such a hard thing to average so many of. What makes a great shot blocker in general?
I think it's a couple of things. One, you're not blocking shots on a player you're guarding. Most of the time it's help side. You're not going to get, you know, 8, 9, 10 block shots on a person you're guarding. It just doesn't happen. You want to come weak side, opposite side, and it's about deception also. Another thing that helped me for my size, because I was a smaller shot blocker, to be quick off your feet, to be very quick in timing. Again, it's about that anticipation. So I think all those things together make a shot blocker. Now, people say, do you have to jump high? It helps to be able to jump. Again, I can't jump high anymore. I can still jump a little bit, but I can't jump as high as I used to. But it helps to have the timing, the anticipation, deception, and it's weak side help. It's not blocking the shot of the person that's shooting that you're guarding. And again, I'd love to be 7 foot, but at the same time, you know, it still need those qualities, I think, to be a shot blocker. It's just not, again, something that you say, well, I'm going to go out and block shots. It takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of work, and again, being smart about it.
Same thing for you, Cedric. Yeah. I pretty much agree with that.
No, I agree. Just to kind of piggyback what he said, too, you know, with the deception and the timing, a lot of it is when, you know, when you have that record, back then guys wanted to challenge you and they were coming, okay, yeah, I'm not, even though I'm 6, I'm a little bit taller than Derek, 6'9", I was still an undersized center at 6'9", you know, going up against, and truthfully, 6'9", or 6'10", you may see me in the program, but I'm probably actually 6'8",
We can't tell everybody. Don't tell everybody.
We're playing against guys that are 7 feet, seven, you know, Montross is 7'2". You know, so we're playing against a lot of guys that are a lot taller. And they would challenge us, not thinking that we were able to get it. And so I think a lot of it is more so guys, you know, trying to prove a point. And it just sometimes came down between Clash of the Titans. When taking an approach to the ball, understanding where the ball is going to go, I used to prefer that someone try to dunk on me as opposed to shooting a layup. It's easier to block a dunk than it was a layup because it's only one, when someone's going to dunk the ball, it's only one place it's going to go. I mean, it has to, you know, they're going to just get the ball over the rim and you meet them right there at the rim and you, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But, you know, Keith Gatlin, used to hate him in practice because he would come down and shoot this finger roll and I'm at the top, at the peak of my jump, and he just flips it right over your fingers. And it was the most effective shot, the little floater. You couldn't get it. I used to hate him for that, but it's nothing you can do about it. So when, you know, the guards now, they're really, and I watched the game today, you know, today's NBA games and college games, the guards have kind of perfected that that little flip layup shot where they're just getting it over the outstretched fingers of the center or the big guy.
Guys, one of the things I think is interesting, and we talked about a little bit as you guys were growing up, but being two players that both played at a really high level, Cedric, how much did you look up to Derek as he was doing his thing, and how much did that motivate you once you got into your college years to play at a really high level?
Quite a bit. When I came to Maryland, I kind of came through the aftermath. So, you know, I went through the turmoil that we dealt with, going through with Bob Wade. Great, you know, he's a great coach. I still think, you know, he was a great guy, great coach. I enjoyed playing for him. And then I had the opportunity to play with Gary Williams. But just watching how to have Derek kind of laid down a blueprint for me. So I kind of knew what to do going into it beyond Maryland and how to approach the game. And not too many people have that blueprint laid out for them, you know, coming in as a young player. You know, I knew what to expect first day of practice. A lot of guys come in. They don't know that, you know, it's funny. They come in, Coach Wade came in, and when he recruited me, sat down in front of me at the in my living room, family room with my parents. He was like, okay, oh, this is great. I'm going to enjoy this, Marley. Great. Coach Wade's going to be great. Then when you get there first day, it's like, you got to hit it because, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you weren't yelling at me in the family room. Now I'm yelling and I have to get up and run and things like that. But I was prepared for that, and I knew what to expect going into it because I had already seen the blueprint that Derek had laid down, and I used to go to their practices. As a high school kid, I used to go up and had an opportunity to play with Lenny and Adrian, all those guys, because they used to invite me in to play at a young age when doing pickup games. So that was probably one of the greatest experiences, and just having that blueprint and the opportunity to do that was great.
You're lucky. You didn't get beat up when you came to play in those games. You played against Lenny and Adrian. I played against Hermanville, Ben Coleman. They weren't trying to give me anything. I mean, I got beat up. I didn't want to play basketball anymore after that. Me are pretty bad.
Derek, on the other side, as you're watching Cedric have this crazy single season blocks record, averaging over five blocks a game, are you, obviously you're playing overseas at that point, how much of those games have you seen? How proud were you of your brother, you know, to come in and sort of keep that family legacy going after you departed?
It's funny because this is the pre-internet days and pre-cell phone days. There was no such thing as a cell phone or internet. You know, we couldn't get hold of a newspaper, but an American newspaper in France, so all the information I got came from my parents. And, you know, they every once in a while, they would mail me a newspaper article. So I get it about 10 days later. And, you know, it was fun. I like, man, this, as I say, it is just killing the, killing the league this year. And, again, just not being able to be there to see it. Cause it's fun to watch, you know, when there's a shot blocker playing, it's fun to watch how they do it. You know, myself as another shot blocker, you always watch and study what other shot blockers do. And I just didn't get to see any games that season. I still have newspaper articles here. I was going through some last week. I think I saved a picture from one of the articles that I sent to him a few weeks ago. Yeah. I just didn't get to see it. I knew he was doing well, but we were in that era when, you know, what is the internet? And you know, there's no cell phone. There was nothing. It was only word of mouth. So I knew he was doing well. I just didn't get a chance to see it. And I missed that period. I missed it.
If you guys were betting men, what's the first record of those that you guys held that gets broken? None of them have gotten broken. What do you think gets broken?
I would say a single season.
I don't see it.
Of course you don't.
I was so happy to see Joe Smith leave early.
Yeah.
To see Stick leave, I'm like, yeah, they're going, they're out of here. They can't do it when they leave.
But see, now if Joe gets healthy, we might have a problem.
That's right.
He's a tall guy.
He might be in prime position. He might be the guy. Yeah.
That's why I say single season, because these guys leave school early now. They're not going to stick around long enough for a career record. So I'm not saying he's got more to sweat about than I do.
When you guys watch the guys today, how much pride do you get just as former Maryland players to watch a team like last year's win a Big Ten championship, Sticks and Anthony Cowan and all of those guys? What's that like for you guys as former players?
Really great to see it. To see just knowing where the program especially when I got there, to see where the program went to where it is now, is really exciting to see. Those guys, you know, Sticks, done a great job. I know he was contemplating. I don't know if he's is he sticking with the NBA?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's great. So I think he's going to do well on the next level. Calvin's going to do a great job. He's going to make somebody a great point guard. So just seeing these guys. And the way they work hard, I'm around them a little bit more now because, like I said, I have a daughter on campus, so I got to spy on people a little bit more. but just seeing the way that they work out and their work ethic is just great. And then the amount of training that they do, you know, we had training too, but these guys now, the way that they're training and their bodies are just—it's amazing how much they've developed since, you know, we were there.
Yeah.
What, and then talk about your experience. I'm interested just and you guys both have touched on it. Such an interesting era you guys both overlapped on from, you know, some of the glory years in those mid-80s with Len Bias and Adrian Branch just touched on. Then you go through Bob Wade and then obviously ending with Gary with you, Cedric, as he tries to sort of bring the program back. To see the program in the state that it is now to win the national title in 2002, do you guys feel like you sort of helped in that process to get the program back through all of those times?
I know when I got there, they were coming off an ACC title the year before. So I came into a great situation. They had returning starters, returning players. And, you know, back to the shot blocking thing, if I wanted to get on the floor, I had to do something other than score because there was Adrian Branch on one wing, Len Bias on the other wing. There weren't any shots.
And that's it. Those are the shots right there.
No, that was it. So, the shot blocking helped me stay on the floor and earn playing time because I wasn't going to be able to shoot the ball, not with those two guys on the wings. But, you know, you look back and even before that, you look back at Len Elmore and Tommy Millen, those guys all paving the way for the guys that came in. You know, then you had Buck Williams and Albert King and those guys. We're just a continuation of what they had started. And, again, we had the hiccup there in the middle. You know, when we had those down years after the Len Bias tragedy. But, you know, Gary came back in and turned it around. They won a title. I mean, you know, obviously that happened. They win a title. And, you know, again, you want to see the program doing well. All the time, it's always great to see him doing a great job. My only thing is I was in France and I came back to visit the campus. I think it might have been in 2001, and the Cole Fieldhouse had a football field in it. And I sat there at the top of Cole Fieldhouse. I was in tears. I said, I can't believe they did this to Cole Fieldhouse. I'm a Cole Fieldhouse guy. Comcast is, I understand, Xfinity Center, I understand it's about the suites and the money, but Cole Fieldhouse, it was nothing like Cole Fieldhouse. We could turn up the heat in the visitors' locker room whenever we played a game. There's only four bathrooms in the corners. And the atmosphere was just crazy in Cole Fieldhouse. But I'm a Cole Fieldhouse guy. And I came back home and saw the football field inside Cole Fieldhouse. I said, man, this is crazy. and what do they do to the gym?
Both you guys, you're coming out of Washington, D.C., at our Archbishop Carroll High School. Being from the DMV and how rich the basketball tradition and talent is in this area, and just to see what it's grown into now, you know, Kevin Durant putting out that documentary about, you know, just what's in the water in the DMV. You know, what does it mean? You know, what does it take, you know, to come out of an area like this and have success in this game, especially with all the obstacles and roadblock and just the amount of talent you're up against night in and night out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One thing that the documentary didn't mention, there are a lot of players that I know I played against. They were pretty doggone good, but they never made it out. And so there it's a lot of talent out there, and you're right about that. I mean, Kevin Durant, during my era, I was supposed to go to Potomac High School, which is Prince George's County, which was in Prince. We were both supposed to go to Potomac High School if we didn't go to a private school. And that school that we were supposed to go to, players that came out of there, Monty Williams, Lawrence Funderburk, guy named Byron Tucker. I mean, it was just so much talent. When I used to be the ball boy for my father's team, when Derek was playing for them, the talent that they had on that team, Frank Ross. Frank Ross also went to Potomac High School.
I think with the American University.
And this is just the high school that we were supposed to go to. So the area itself, pickup games on the courts and on the playgrounds, they were very competitive. I mean, they were just really competitive. And I'm just naming guys that actually made it, that I know about off of first hand, that's made it to the NBA and that's gone or gone further past college. So it was an enriched area with talent. You know, during my era, we had Anthony Tucker. Gerard Mustafa was in that area. Perry Carter went to Ohio State. I mean, so these are guys that I was playing against on a nightly basis. And it was just enriched with a bunch of talent in that area, in that era. And it's just really, we were really blessed to be able to come out of it and go as far as we did with during that time frame, especially as tough as it was. I feel now that if I was coming out of high college now, I probably more so would have been a lottery pick. I feel that with the way I played back then, if I were to come out of school today with those same stats and the same skill set, probably, you know, my offense probably would have been a little bit better or I need to work on that a little bit more. But with those stats, there are guys that, you know, just the way that we played and the approach to the game, now, I think it really but the talent, let me see. When I came out of school, it was Larry Johnson was the number one pick. We had pretty much the entire UNLV team. So it was just a bunch of talent. Dell Davis, Morning, Shaq came out that same year. So it was just a bunch of talented guys in that era. Really was.
And say if I mentioned, you know, we didn't even, there was so much talent in PG County, we didn't even make the movie. we were good, but I guess we weren't. There's a lot of players.
Yeah, you guys are coming in volume two.
I'm about right? to say, we'll get you guys out of here on this question. We've asked everyone we've had on from a men's basketball perspective this in the series we've done the last few weeks, and I'll start with you, Derek, and then Cedric, you can go right after. Your all-time Maryland starting five.
All-time starting five. Ooh.
Wow.
I like John Lucas as a point guard. I know you're going to get people arguing with me over Vasquez and maybe Steve Blake, all good guards, but I like John Lucas for everything that he did on the floor. A lot of people didn't see him play. I tell you, my shooting guard, I like Stevie Franchise. Only played 2 years, but that guy was explosive. He was tough. Play both ends. And again, I'm from a different era, so, you know, I'm going to get all the, you know, what is he crazy? What about this? I understand. I love Juan, too. Juan Dixon, that's my man. But I like Stevie Franchise. And again, I'm going to go old school. I like King.
Okay.
I like King.
Bernard.
No, Albert.
Albert, I'm sorry, Albert.
Man, we mixed up Bernard and Albert.
So we've got three. So you got franchise. You've got John Lucas, Albert King. We need two more inside.
You know I'm putting Len Bias in there. Len Bias gotta be one. And then for me, I mean, the toss up for me is Buck Williams and Len Elmore. Buck Williams, man, I saw Buck Williams. You lefty, just always talk about how tough Buck Williams was on both ends of the floor. He didn't give up. He didn't give up anything. He did not give up anything. And I like the toughness. Again, we played a different style of basketball than they play now. I mean, now today you can't touch people or it's a foul. You know, back then we could almost play football before you got a foul. And then even then it wasn't a flagrant. So, again, I like the guys from that era. I'm not saying, you know, you've had guys come out. You know, you've had Sticks. You've had a lot of guys come out recently that, again, you know, it's a good argument. But when you look at – I'm looking at guys from my era that style, I prefer that style of play. Not that it wasn't fluid. It was probably less fluid than it is today because of the rules of the three-point line. They cleaned up the inside. We didn't have a three-point line my first 2 years. There was no three-point line. And then when we got three-point line, the three-point line ran inside of the top of the key. So everybody was shooting that. But that's the answer. That's my – I like that five there. You know, there's other guys up there, Walt Williams. There's other guys that could easily make that team, be in that five. But I like that five right there. I go to battle with that five against anybody.
There you go. Cedric, you've had time to think. What's your counter?
Yeah, I kind of wrote some names down. I have to go with – I have to put Walt in there. I have to put Walt in there at the point because, you know, 6'9 point guard. He's done I watched him bring the ball up against guys like, how did he do that? And how I've seen him handle the position at point guard, you know, being able to see over top of the defense, Hurley, it was just great. So my list is a little newer than Derek's. I have Juan Dixon, of course. We need that shooter outside. Steve Francis, he brings that energy that everybody loves to see. And, of course, Len Bias at the power forward. And Joe Smith. The reason I had to go with Joe, because I remember the first day when I met Joe Smith, Gary, he came into the summer camp. I was still working out with the guys during the summer. So, you know, during the summer basketball camps, we would go in and the counselors would play and Joe Smith showed up. And Gary Williams was like, hey, Cedric, why don't you know, go out there, show me what he's made of. You know, just give me a little bit of, show me, you know, just test him out a little bit. And by the end of that game, Joe, I was like, I went back over to coach. I'm like, got a good player on your hand here. And so for him to be the top draft pick, one of the draft picks, I had to go with Joe. He's just talented, very crafty around the basket. And like Derek said, I was glad he left early so the shot blocking record was intact.
We beat you about 15 every time.
Two big time fives right there. If you guys are wondering, Walt put Len Bias, Tom McMillan, John Lucas, Adrian Branch, and himself. So he was just trying to outscore teams. He said they were playing no defense and just trying to outscore teams. Well,
no D, that's Walt.
Derek and Cedric Lewis, thank you so much for your time. Some awesome stories from two of the best shot blockers in Maryland history. We need to get your two guys' fives and Walt's five in a three-team tournament there, and we'll see who wins that round.
We got to go back to the prime, though. We can't do it now.
Yes. We'll get it on a video game. We got to back it up. Like so. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time and everything that you did for Maryland in your careers and thank after. You. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Keith, Derek, and Cedric Lewis were awesome. So we do all of these interviews, at least during the pandemic, we've done all of them over Zoom. This was the first interview we've ever had where it was pretty clear that the Lewis brothers had sent this out to multiple people because we had people just jumping on the Zoom at random times to, I guess, watch us interview someone, maybe the first live interview in Hear the Turtle history with a real audience. And Keith, the behind-the-scenes tech guy, was trying to keep everybody muted and make sure the audio didn't get messed up. But that was a wild situation that was going on with everyone jumping in and doing their thing. So it kind of made it fun though. The Lewis's brought a different spin to the whole thing.
It truly is a family affair when you interview the Lewis brothers. Listen, there's a first time for everything, but we made it work. And pandemic, you know, you're looking for things to do. You're looking for something interesting to kind of shake up the quarantine life and maybe watching two of the best shot blockers in Maryland history recount some of those stories and things about their career is a good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And fun to see the engagement both those guys have. I thought it was interesting. We asked, and we talked about this before we jumped in, was there anyone that could break any of their records? And we went over that. It was funny to hear them talk about Chole, a guy that, you know, obviously Maryland fans and both of us hope that kind of comes into his own this year. That if he gets healthy, they might have a problem because of at least the single season records because of how tall that he is. But two guys that I'm sure would hope for the benefit of Maryland basketball that someone broke those records if it meant more team success. Those guys are program guys. Obviously love the university and the program and were great to talk to. So once again, thanks to Derek and Cedric Lewis for jumping on with us. Great interview and just another in our series. Make sure to go back and listen to our other Maryland Record Breaker series interviews with the great Len Elmore and the great Gravis Vasquez. They were both fantastic with their time. And we continue to roll on with this series of guys as we go. Make sure to go listen to our other latest Hear the Turtle episodes. We had Talia Tungavailoa and Lance Lejean, the two men competing to be Maryland's starting quarterback. And they were great as well. We had Brian Cobbs when the news broke as well that football was back. Maryland's wide receiver who was one of our favorite guests in the history of this show. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sned311 for Keith Cameron Sneddon, Taylor Smythe 10 for me, and we'll see you next week on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps!